Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, here you go.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. We got a great show on tap for you tonight. We will be speaking with a lovely lady, emigrated here from Romania, going to tell us what a vote for Joe Biden is going to really be like. And we're going to talk about her career. She is a human rights attorney, a keynote speaker, an author, and a great American patriot. And we are going to speak to her in 2 minutes, right after we go through this little top of the hour break for my couple of my friends. I like to promote their stuff. They like to promote my stuff. Here you go. Check it out. We'll be back in like 2 minutes.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks, and you want to head on over to LibertyRush.com as soon as possible. It is the answer to the Facebook censorship that we are experiencing these days on Facebook and other platforms. Gary Binford is in the live feed. You want to check out his show, United Patriots Uprising, every other Monday. He will be live a week from today. You don't want to miss this guy's show. It is top notch. Man, we are so lucky to have him at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I am proud to call him a friend. Check him out. You can also seek Nation Savers 2020. I think that's still going, right, Gary? Thumbs up if it is. And, of course, our good friend James Bostic and a Conservative Perspective, heard Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Ray Colon's watching, Gary Binford's watching, Matthew's watching, Jose's, Diane, Jim and Linda, hello, Mark Neal, an old high school buddy, Mark Allen Urbach, former candidate for governor of Georgia. Lord, the state needs you, Mark. Please run again. You know, you got to stop some of the stuff that's shaking down there in Georgia. It's kind of hectic in some of the areas and some of the neighborhoods. Now, why did I do that thing I had here the other day? Help me out with it. That'll work. There we go. That's a little better. So, my guest tonight is she is a author and, like I said, a human rights attorney. And we're going to speak about a whole host of things. But I have a friend of mine. He is the lead singer to our fun band, Thunderstruck, an AC/DC tribute band, and he's down in Sanford at the Trump rally. I'm going to bring him on here real quick. We're going to talk Trump rally live. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray from the Trump rally. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Mark.
How's that? How's it going out there?
Good. It's real loud because YMCA is playing right now.
My favorite song. I'm going to come down to the bar one of these days. I'm going to karaoke it with you.
I'm walking to where I can hear you.
Yes, sir.
It was a blast, so you know.
How's the electricity in the crowd?
Oh, my God, it was great. It was great. It was the most awesome experience you'll ever have. It was, everybody was awesome, man. Everybody got along. There was every nationality you can possibly imagine.
Right.
And everybody was just, I mean, even all day when you were standing in line just waiting to get in, people were coming by, and I've met so many people that were just awesome people, man. From, like I said, from every nationality, from other places around the country, from other states.
Yeah. All around just for the Trump rally. Great.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Bless, grab my shirt.
And you met my friend Rick. Rick Sarmiento, Bikers from 25. You're doing great things.
Yep.
Making rallies and doing great.
Yeah, I went up to him and I said, sorry about that. I said hi to him and told him that I knew you and everything. But,
Who's that guy?
Nah, he knew you. It was worth it, though, because, like I said, I mean, it was hot, man. There was a couple people passed out kind of waiting, a couple older people.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, there was thousands, possibly, if I had to guess, I mean, I don't know for sure, but the crowd went on for forever. I mean, I couldn't see the end of it. I would say probably, if not more. Probably somewhere. Yeah, it's a smaller airport.
Right.
We're making our way out now. I got my hand on Dana's shirt. Wesley's here with me.
You took some great pictures. It's awesome. I'm glad you got a chance to go see one of these rallies and give us a call and tell us about the electricity and the scene and what's going on at the Trump rally.
All kinds of
people, folks. You know, they say that the our side is racist, yet tell that to all the black people, the Chinese.
Yep, there was every
black people.
Yep. I met Pacific Asians for Trump today. I met a lot of Latinas for Trump. There was a lot of black people for Trump. Pretty much every group that you can imagine I saw here.
I don't know if you saw the Jexit signs. Those are some of my friends, Karen and Michelle, and them are walking around with the Jexit. That's the Jewish people exiting the Democratic Party. I want to say hello real fast to David Hart, the Walking Dead Marine. He's in the live feed. David, we got to get you on the show here so you can tell your story again. And Sean Sampson over there in Kentucky. Thanks for tuning in. And Alicia and Jed Wigger and all the folks that are tuning in the live feed. Thank you so much. We are talking with Ray.
Yeah.
He's down in Stanford right now at the Trump rally. He's heading out. The rally's over. So you were right out there. You got to stand while he came off the plane too, huh? Out on the tarmac.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you post up to Facebook, it I guess looks further than it was. But we were honestly probably 150 feet from the actual plane that parked, and we were probably 30 feet from the stage.
That's awesome.
We woke up really early. We got out here at like 9 in the morning, and we waited all day. So they let us in around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then Governor DeSantis, and they had a bunch of speakers. It was awesome.
Yeah,
all together, man. It was Kim. And then Congressman Greer spoke. He was very energetic, awesome guy. I mean, he was amazing. And of course, Donald Trump was amazing, like always. He got right in there, and he has all the energy in the world. For a guy that just got over COVID, let me tell you, man, he's got all the energy he's always had.
I'm guessing this cocktail that they gave him is one of these. I guess he put himself out there as a guinea pig for one of these cocktails, and apparently, the cocktail is the cure.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he was like nothing had ever happened. Good as new, perfect. I mean, honestly, it was perfect.
He's releasing it to the public.
Yeah, and of course he said that the medicine that they cured him with, he's now releasing to the public.
So that everybody can
Get cured.
It's the cure.
Yeah, that's what he said. Oh yeah. Yeah, he was awesome, man. Definitely awesome.
The folks on the left are exploding because they think that, oh, my God, he didn't have it. They're lying. It's bull crap. You know what I mean?
And yeah, so Mark, I was standing in the line today twice. I had news cameras come up and pop into my face. One of them was an Australian news network.
Right.
And the other one, I had never heard of either. But anyway, both of them said, well, do you think it's right that Donald Trump is out here right after he had COVID? I mean, nobody here is even wearing masks. And I said,
right.
I told him, for one, he's tested pretty much negative, so he's good now. I said, for two, I said, did you guys hear that the coronavirus now has, it's smart. It's got a brain. And the guy's
right.
Like, oh, I didn't hear that. And I said, well, yeah, of course it does. I said, it picked Donald Trump over Joe Biden. The guy started laughing. The new guy. I said that to both of them, by the way. I don't know if that'll be anywhere, but it was funny. Everybody around me started laughing.
And even the fly picked Pence over Kamala Harris.
Exactly.
Even the fly.
Yeah.
So when you're driving out to Stanford, what's the this is going to be my last question because I got a guest on hold. Driving out to Stanford this morning, how many Trump signs compared to Biden signs did you experience?
Well, no, there were tons of Trump signs, but certain areas you go through, you're going to see Biden signs. For instance, Groveland, Florida.
Yeah. Load.
There are certain places, but then there's other places you see a lot of Trump signs, you know. It just depends on who's there, you know.
The Trump rallies are seriously suffering for attendance. As you saw, the Biden rally had at least 15 people.
Yeah, from what I understand, the Biden rally didn't have anybody there yesterday.
Right, they were all reporters. They were all media.
Yeah.
They're talking to CNN reporters and Washington Post reporters, New York Times reporters, and there's like two people like standing outside looking.
There's supposed to be protests on our way out of here. So,
right.
They were supposed to start at 5:30 and go to 9:30. So,
well, I know you guys are good. So,
yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
All right, Ralph, thank you so much, man.
All right, man.
DC's coming out November 13th, man. I can't wait. I'm gonna take a loan for this concert. If I have to go in debt, I'm going to see ACDC.
Yeah, Wesley and Blake want to go too.
We got to go. I got to. When I'm dead and buried, I want Mason to be sitting around a campfire when he's like 50 going, yeah, I saw ACDC. They're going to be like,
exactly.
Greg, when? When? How did you see ACDC? You're hardly alive. Well, my father and mother took me when I was 10.
This is crazy.
Thanks for parking here, man.
Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it. I got to get my guest on.
All right.
Thanks, and you guys rock, and I'll talk to you soon. Tell your wife and son I said hello.
All right, I will.
Hey, there you have it, folks. That's Ray, right from Stanford, just leaving the Trump rally. You heard him. And now, without further ado, I want to bring our featured guest in, Miss Virginia Prodan. Ladies and gentlemen, our featured guest. Hello, Virginia. Thank you so much for your time. Sorry that took a little bit longer than I expected, but I was excited.
Glad to be here.
Yes, ma'am. So, I saw you on Facebook. Somebody told me to look for you. I was doing shows on people who left or escaped from communism in communist countries. I've been trying to point out to people so much what a vote for Joe Biden is like with the stories of folks who've come from countries that have these type of regimes or governments. So before we get really into that and delve into that, tell folks a little bit about who Virginia Prodan is, you know, where you grew up, where you were born, how things, and then we'll get rolling. Little quick bio.
Okay. My name is Virginia Prodan. I am an international human rights attorney, an author at Tyndale. My book, it's called Saving My Assassin, international keynote speaker, and I encourage people. I also call myself a victory coach or a victory person, encouraging others to find the power in them and to live a courageous life. I was born under socialist in Romania during the regime of dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. And as a young kid, I was surrounded by people fearful, afraid to speak up. My own parents were very politically correct outside of the home, but inside of the home would whisper how horrible the socialist government was, and the fact that no matter how obedient they were yesterday, today the government took more rights. So I was very traumatized as a kid, thinking that I don't represent anything for the government, but also my parents are too fearful to protect me in case something happened. So I started to look around and understand why people were fearful. And I noticed that we had a family reunion every single year, and my relatives would group around three people. So I did my research, and those people were lawyers. So I said to myself, oh, I'm going to go to law school. These people know the response, know the answer, but they don't speak up. I really little knew about that there was God's desire to take me to law school. And I want to say to your audience that when they read Saving My Assassin, they will discover that under a socialist government, you don't decide your profession. The government is the one who decided the profession. At that time, I didn't know that, but sometimes God allows you not to know everything in order to have the courage to go on. So I invite your audience to read and to share with others the reality about socialists and how you have your profession. I went to law school and I became a lawyer. And again, when you finish law school, and if it's free, what is called free, you pay dearly for that free. You have no right to decide where to go and have the profession and exercise that profession. And also, later on, I found out, too, that the government had this process of taking students and accepting specific students at law school for a specific reason. And let me share with you and your audience. There were three questions that the government was looking in my political file. One, that my parents never organized anything outside of home against the socialist government. The second question was to look for things and elements if their children reported them for saying something inside of home against the government. And the third one was that my parents were or not Christian, so they were not. And the reason later on I found out is because the government wanted to use you because they give you what they call free education to use you as a lawyer to defend the government against its people. But I refused to do this, and for that reason I was arrested, tortured, placed under house arrest, and I came within seconds of being executed under the orders of Ceaușescu himself. But by the grace of God, I shared the gospel with my assassin, who was sent to my office as so-called client, and he accepted Christ, and he left my office that day, a free man indeed. And the surprises are still coming. If and when your audience will read the book, will find out that years later, he came to Dallas, Texas, and offered to write a chapter in my book. So you will have his perspective and my perspective, and it's all that God can do it. So shortly after he tried to kill me, God gave me a special assignment, and I'm not going to say it. I'm going to just say it was so dangerous that I accomplished that assignment. And shortly after that, President Ronald Reagan wanted to take the most favored nation status from our dictator, because it was given to the Romanian people, but the dictator took it from himself and used all the money to build himself a palace. And the end, President Ronald Reagan made a deal with our dictator, and I was allowed to exile from Romania to America as a political refugee. I learned English
What year was that, 1980?
1988, yes, a year before the dictator was killed. So I learned English. I went back to law school here in Dallas, Texas at SMU.
That's awesome.
I cannot hear you if you ask me a question.
I
opened my own law firm, and I work also with Alliance Defend of Freedom. I wrote books, and I speak all over the world, because this is America. A country where you can come empty-handed and you can rebuild your life. And I raised as a single mother three children that are so happy and responsible to be here in the United States and to represent this country.
What do you say to these spoiled brats rioting in cities like Portland and other places, New York City, they're taking for granted the freedom of this country? What do you say to these brats that are burning down cities?
Well, first of all, I pray for them, because they don't know anything. They don't know what they are doing. They don't understand that socialists will bankrupt America, that socialists will not bring them the benefits that they dream or think about. They might think that socialists will bring equality or whatever, but they don't know the history of. I will invite them to go to Cuba or Venezuela or any other country and see if they can stay in that country for 2 weeks, and they will have the perspective of what socialist is all about. Unfortunately, they were brainwashed and they believe those lies. And I see in them what my parents told me, that some of the people in Romania experienced many years ago, before the socialists established in Romania, where some people believe those lies of free stuff, or others were too fearful to go and vote because our country started to be occupied by the Russian troops, and we had violence and everything. It's almost similar with what you see now. But there is hope. There is hope. We can reach them.
There is always hope. I was going to say, being that you came from a country run by a dictator, overrun with socialism, you heard the part. You heard him speak. You heard his speeches and the things that he says when he's speaking to the country. When you hear Joe Biden or someone like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi speaking, is there similarities to the way they speak as to the similarities of the dictator you escaped from and got exiled to America?
Yes, there is, and people should pay attention. When Joe Biden said that he will not answer our question until after election, you have to believe him. because he established himself above the law. He doesn't care. He is the elite. He now in freedom, he is telling us. Can you imagine if he has the power, what he's going to do or say to us? You also see a situation in state where the mayor or the governor is a Democrat and does not want to apply the law, allows people to destroy the property. This is part of the socialist agenda. And if you don't believe that, then if they gain power, your property will be next on the list. And you have to remember that. When they said that they will take your guns, believe them. Believe them that they will do. And you will be at the mercy.
Now, in Romania, before this, what's the dictator's name? I don't think I can even pronounce it.
Nicolae Ceaușescu.
So Nicolae over there in Romania as the dictator. Were you experiencing the country before he was the dictator, and or your parents? What did they say Romania was like before this guy came to power?
Before socialists and communists came to power, Romania and Bucharest, the capital, was known as Little Paris. It was just absolutely a beautiful country with people coming from all over the world, Jewish, Greek, Muslim, coming to Romania, because Romania has plain, they has hills and mountains, Black Sea, everything in that small. And Romanians are very nice and good people. They love to welcome people. But everything that the socialists and communists produce in Romania was to destroy. And Ceaușescu did not start as a dictator. He started with lies, with telling people things that they believe in, and to attract them. And after they attract them, you know, and gain the power, every single year they took more and more rights from. But what is very dangerous in America is that during this year, we had seen a lot of governors in California and New York, several other places, where they already act like dictators. They close churches. Yes. They don't allow people to go to church. They tell you that even when you eat, you have to have the mask and everything. They tell you what to think and what to say and not to say. That's the agenda of the socialists. And we have a chance right now to speak up and vote against them and rebuild America, because they are trying really hard to destroy it.
It's really crazy when you listen to them speak, like where they're standing next to a picture of a burning car in a burning city going, these protests, they're peaceful protests. You see the news reporters going, mostly peaceful protests, as they're flipping over a police car that's on fire. You know, mostly peaceful, except for these 5,000 people behind me that are burning down Portland.
Yeah, you're right about that. That is correct. But they are doing this because for a very, very long time, we were trying to be politically correct, not to embarrass anyone and not to do everything. And they gained more power, the media and everything. And now they are telling us lie in front of us, but they want us to believe it as a truth.
I usually say
to my audience that I would love for them, and I would love your audience, to read chapter 3 in my book at least 4 times. And why? Because it's a story of my uncle who had the power and had the opportunity to speak when the time was right, and he was too fearful. And then for the rest of his life, he was not able to look in the mirror into his eyes. Later on in life, he went into a room, closed the door, and refused to eat because he was not able to forgive himself. And I don't want anyone to go through this, not my friends, not even people that don't agree with us.
Right.
It's time for us to stand up.
Also known as the enemy in some cases. And folks, you need to pray for your enemies. Virginia,
yes.
When I pray,
yes.
when I pray in all of my prayers, when I pray almost every prayer, dear Heavenly Father, please awaken our enemies that they may see the light and come to the light and join our side and be free.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
It's sad that they're so brainwashed that they don't even realize it. Like the Constitution and the freedom that they have, people take it for granted. They think, like, if America's gone, right, where do people go? Where do they seek freedom and safety from tyrannical regimes, if we're a tyrannical regime? We can't have this.
No, we cannot have. I want to say that I am privileged because every time I spoke, including at non-conservative schools or colleges or universities, because I shared with them my life, many of them stood up and say, "Ma'am, nobody told us this part of the story, and we do not want to build something like this." And I believe that we need to reach them. We need to, many times I've said, if you bought the book, share my book with others. Because the beauty of the book is that I take the audience by hand with me and they walk in socialists. And that gives them a right process, how you have to stay in line for food, and how the government established prices and so forth. I mean, it's absolutely. And we are, as Americans, we are so equipped and so kind, so amazing kind of people, because we brought Christ and freedom to people all over the world. It's time for us to bring Christ and freedom back to America. And I have to say it, I am very encouraged. When I see the people at Donald Trump rally, people doing different things and praying and everything, I really believe there is hope for America. But the real hope is for us to go and vote in person. And no matter how long the line is going to be, we have to go and vote in person and encourage others. And if someone needs a babysitting, or we need to hold a child, or we need to take an elderly person to the poll, we have to do this. We have to be active.
Yes. Hold on one second, ladies and gentlemen. It is the bottom of the hour. We are talking with author, human rights attorney, and someone who actually escaped from a life of socialism in Romania, Bucharest, wrote a book, Great Things Happening, Freedom.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
You want to make sure you get the book, Saving My Assassin. How can folks find your book? Where can they buy it? Is it available at Amazon bookstores? Where do you get Saving My Assassin?
It's Amazon bookstore. They also can buy directly from me at virginiaprodan.com/buy, B-U-Y.
I'm going to put that into my feed. That's Virginia Prodan. Hold on, let me write it down. Virginia
Prodan books.com/buy, B-U-Y.
All righty. There it is, folks. VirginiaProdamBooks.com/buy. Get a copy today. And make sure you read chapter 4 3 or 4 times. You heard it. It's the story of her uncle. When you came to America, and I don't know, did you go to Texas? Or have you been in Texas the whole time you lived in America? Or have you lived someplace else?
No, I lived the entire time in Dallas, Texas. And it's, again, a wonderful and amazing story, because I believe that the Lord was the one and is the one who guides my life. And he decided for me to live in Dallas, Texas. And until he tells me to move, I'm here in Dallas.
Well, if you ever come to Florida, get in touch with me. Maybe we can get a rally going and we can have you speak. Now, the first time, now here you are in Dallas, Texas. How old were you when you came to America?
I was, if people want to think about my age, I want to tell them something that we didn't have in socialist. Like in socialist, we will graduate from 12th grade, and we were allowed to go directly to a university. We never had a college. So when I graduated from law school, I was the age of a college student, 23, 24 years old. I went to school when I was 5 and a half or 6, first grade, something like this. So I was very young, but no matter how young you are, and when I came to America, I knew, and I know 5 languages, but I didn't know one word in English. And I had to learn English, and after that, I had to go to law school.
Virginia, I have 53 years in America, born and raised, and I don't even speak English, so where are you? You're all right.
English is a beautiful language, but sometimes English has confusing words. I remember I was confused when I realized that Americans call drugs medication and entertainment drugs. And I thought, no, cannot be. You have to label them differently, you know. Also, if you, there are no rules in American language to learn, you know, how to speak. Think about 11 and in how many ways you pronounce the letters there and everything. So, but I was very determined. My kids knew English much faster than me. So I was determined, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be a trumpet for the American people and tell them it's time to turn back to God, and it's time to be strong and courageous and be the American that the entire world is looking up for, because we are the light of others, and others are looking up for us as Americans.
The shiny city on a hill.
That is so true. I used to say that Ronald Reagan was my hero, and he still is. But now my hero is Donald Trump.
Isn't he
amazing? He is amazing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I grew up in New York. I've been, you know, inundated with Donald Trump his whole career. Since I'm a little kid, we know Donald Trump. If you're from New York, you know who Donald Trump is. And he gets a bad rap in New York. But I was, before I get away and start moving into a different direction, the reason I was saying how old were you when you came here and all that stuff is because I wanted to ask, the first time you walked into an American supermarket, what was that like?
I will never forget. First of all, the color, the freshness of the food. It was absolutely amazing. And as I walk inside, I remember stopping and saying to myself, is this an exhibition? Because nobody is buying. Nobody is fighting for the food. What's going on here? And then some friends took me to, American friends took me to the store. So I bought as many fresh fruits and vegetables and everything. And I noticed them. I didn't know how to speak but English, but when you know five languages, you understand from the context what people are saying. You cannot make sense because you don't put words and verbs together and so forth. But I understood. And one of my friends was apologizing for the clerk there that they have to wait and take it everything, that everybody before me and after me had bought access, and I had fresh fruit and vegetables. So, but I was so happy to have it, and I was so happy to express to others, because sometimes I was able to tell my kids, and the kids will translate for me, that we hardly had fresh fruit and vegetables, and how beautiful you know, and rich this country is and was.
But people don't understand that. That's what I don't get when you see these young kids today burning down the cities and rioting, going, this country is so horrible. I'm like, what do you mean, man? My friend at work, he moved to Texas. His name was Inocente. He was from Venezuela. And guess what? Everything that you're saying, he said about Venezuela, and he's got family down there. And back maybe a year or two ago, they were showing like how it is in Venezuela and what's going on in Venezuela. They had uprising, and people were trying to eat and do everything. And he had family down there, and he was sending them money so that they could eat. You know, he's up here working in America, sending money down to them. I don't know how it worked out. If it was good. I just know that Venezuela was one of the most wealthiest, beautiful countries before their dictator took over, Hugo Chavez. And now I think the guy's name is Maduro. And they have stolen the power from the people. And amazingly how fast it happened after they got the guns from the citizens. That's the key, taking the guns away from the citizens. Once they can do that, it's all on, folks. You can't defend yourself against tyranny no longer. And what do? When 25 armed soldiers come down the street and go, come out, everybody, into the street. We're going to talk to you. And you can't defend yourself. You can't stand up. You can't stay.
That is so true. And it's also in our country, we have to be very careful because we have the case of the family who was surrounded by riots, came very close to their house, and they were afraid that they might come and burn their house as they have done it the day before in another area. And guess what? Not the riots were on trial, but the family who protected, and because they had guns. This is a dangerous step. If we don't stand up and if we don't protect, it's going to happen like in Romania or Venezuela or Cuba or any other country. But we still believe that we are not going to give up God-given rights, our freedom of speech, our religious rights. Yesterday afternoon, Tony Perkins had Freedom Sunday in California. And there were lots of pastors, and I was also one of the speakers talking about how dangerous it is for us as church and as pastor not to open the church and listen to what illegal order from a governor will say, close the door, don't sing, don't do this and don't do that. You accept that, they will do the next step.
And if people vote for and we elect Joe Biden, what would you expect the next move to be for the Biden campaign? Do you think Trump supporters will be in trouble? Do you think they'll be searching us out for persecution maybe?
I can't figure out, what they will do. But I will say this. If right now they are doing what they are doing, Pelosi and others, trying to replace a president through the 25th Amendment, always thinking about us. In fact, they are trying to take our freedom away. And Biden, who doesn't like to respond because, after all, he's above the law, or Harris, who doesn't want to respond and give the response to what they will do with the Supreme Court and everything, I imagine pretty devastating things that they will do to America. I know that when socialists came to Romania, the first thing was that the elite of the socialist government took your houses, your guns, your gold, everything. And they are playing by the rules. They are playing by the Marxist rules, and I don't want to think about that. I want to think and believe that we're gonna win, and we're gonna make this country even stronger than before.
And what happens after? All right, Donald Trump gets elected. Four more years. Now he can't be elected no more. Where do we go
yes,
from there?
Yes, that is true. But
after him, take a turn for the worse again.
Yes, that is true. But even if he is elected, and I hope he will be elected, we do not have to expect that the liberal will go to sleep. They will continue the same attitude and the same things that they have done it right now. Now we have to regroup. I hope the American people learn that election has consequences, that we have to be involved from the city hall to White House, from parents teacher conference to the Supreme Court. And we
Amen.
Have to be, it's God asked us to be part of this society and influence. And right. we have to, because our leaders make decisions. And if we don't have leaders fearing God, then their decisions will be against us.
Right on. I agree. I believe that it doesn't really matter who gets elected in this next election. It's going to take the strength of the people. Folks, now you got to understand something here. Don't just go out and vote for president. We have a House of Representatives and a Senate that are very, very important. We need to take the House. We need to take that gavel out of the hands of Nancy Pelosi. And we got to keep the gavel out of the hands of Chuckie Schumer. So, be sure, I don't give a rat's butt. You have to vote red. Even if the candidate is a rhino, chances are he's going to have to pull the party line somewhere along the lines. And you got to vote for these people. Vote for your Republican Congress people. Your local elections are the most important elections, the ones that are in your district, the ones that are actually representing you from your area, from your neighborhood, from your zip code, that are going up to Congress. Don't forget your school board members. Don't forget your county commissioners, judges, sheriffs. Remember, sheriffs are the top law enforcement official in any county. They trump federal officials, any other officials. They are the law enforcement in your county, the local sheriffs. Beware of what we have a guy here in Florida. His name is Chad Chronister, and he is unbelievable. And the people, elections have consequences, and I believe he might get elected again because they are participating in crooked politics in Pinellas County, Florida. It's really unbelievable. So really quick, one more question I had to ask.
I want to say people can call their senators right now and ask them to confirm Judge Amy Barrett for the Supreme Court. And if you are not agree with everything you said, Mark, but if you are not happy with the Republicans on your ballot right now, then take a step further and after elections start to be involved and you become a candidate for next election and you make those changes.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to go back one more question. All right, so there you are. You're at the register. You got all these fresh fruits and vegetables. You take them home. What is the idea that I could go back, I could take these fruits and vegetables home, put them away, and go back to the same grocery store? I don't have to wait on any lines. I can get all the same stuff again without any problem. I don't have to worry. I don't have to, when I walk out of the store, that someone's going to rob me of my food. I don't have to worry about none of that. What was that feeling like?
It was an absolutely amazing feeling, but I have to say it, in the same time, I was crying for my friends and relatives back home in Romania, knowing that they never experienced that. Many of them were too old, and maybe they will never experience that. So it was a combination of a joy, of gratitude for this country, but also a feeling of guilt and a feeling that I wish I could send something back home.
Right. I couldn't imagine a life of living like that. My friend, he's from he's Serbian. He became a refugee after the Clintons bombed the hell out of his country. Imagine that you have to go to the country that bombed your country so bad that you're a refugee, and now you have to live there, and the person who's responsible for it is your president. I couldn't imagine that. So, but he lived for 3 years in his country before he came to America as a refugee, with no electricity, no refrigerator, one little vehicle to get the family to and from everywhere. They had nothing. Could you imagine these kids that are burning down the cities living 1 week without electricity, let alone 3 years?
Yeah, yeah. They have no knowledge and also believe that they don't want to know. They do not want to know. They want to live in a fantasy, and they don't want responsibilities. They want to be victims, and I hope they will get to the bottom line of their understanding, that they will wake up and realize there is no beauty in being a victim, because that's what the liberal created out of them. They complain all the time. In a country that gives them opportunities that other people will die to have those opportunities. So, again, I believe that it's our responsibility to reach out to them. And if it's not going directly to the riots because they are violent and they might kill you, at least pray for you. For students that have those ideas, take them to lunch. Take them to dinner and don't say it. I will tell you. Ask them questions. Ask them why they believe this. And, you know, ask them those questions, because the more you ask them questions, the more they will not have answers. And the more you will share with them how others live in socialism, they will listen. But they are just young. And they want to change the world. They don't realize that they are the first generation in America who wants to change America into worse, not into a better country.
Isn't it crazy? It's so insane that people want to bring socialism. I keep telling these people, anytime it's free, believe it, it's not free. You already heard the Biden plan. They want to raise taxes on day one, 4 $1 trillion. They are touting, we are going to repeal the Trump tax cuts on the first day. And then when asked, are you going to raise taxes on everybody? No, no, we're not raising taxes on anybody. We're going to raise taxes on the people that make over $400,000 a year. But as soon as you cancel and you repeal the tax cuts that president gave, everybody gets a tax increase. Duh. People don't get that. The Biden plan is to raise your taxes $4 trillion on day one and get rid of the Trump tax cuts. So they want to destroy all the rest of the small businesses that COVID-19 didn't destroy already. And that's their plan. No small business, no more little shops on Main Street. You can only go to the corporate shops that are run by big corporations that dump loads of money into the pockets and the campaigns of crooked demon rat politicians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. How the heck do you go into Congress? They want to see Trump's tax returns. They want to see President Trump's tax returns. Yet here they are on a $174,000 salary a year, and all of a sudden they're millionaires. How does that happen? Maybe we should see the tax returns of Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden, and all these other guys that got rich off of politics. I said this on my last show, and it really, one thing, the forefathers, as great as they were, they wrote the greatest document for freedom ever. But they forgot one thing, term limits on Congress. That's it. If they would have got that in, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. Believe it. When you have people in Congress for 30, 40, almost 50 years, what do they accomplish in all that time besides all of a sudden they get in Congress broke, they leave multimillionaires, and they leave behind them a trail of tears and destruction and sadness and despair. You know, thank God the American
You are right about that. But our founding father, they will take care of their farms, and they will go to D.C. and take care of the business really fast and return to their home to take care of their farms. They never imagined that being a politician will be a job that will make you rich. It was unethical. They were ethical people, and they were thinking in a positive way. They created a lot of things, but we transformed a lot of benefits, a lot of blessings that they left us into curse.
Right on. Well, this has been a fabulous hour, and so glad that you stuck around for the whole hour. And before I wrap up the show, I would really like if you would join me in a prayer for our nation, and I'll play an awesome song from my friend Mark, and then we can head out and enjoy the rest of our evening. Will you do that with me?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you because you are in control. You are sovereign over our own lives and the lives of America. We praise you and we honor you that you invite us, and you said that we, your people, have the solution. And you told us that if my people, which means us, will turn from our wicked way, seek you and pray, you will heal us and you will heal the land. And we bless you and we honor you that you want to do this. Help each one of us more and more, everyone who listen, to realize that we can be part of the solution. Turning from our wicked way, praying, seeking you. And also, Lord, you made us doers of your word. As we go to election, help each one of us to vote on your principles, to vote to protect the unborn child, to protect the family as you define it between men and women, to protect our right to worship you, to protect our right to have a gun in case the government turns against us. And there are so many rights that you gave us. And all those come from you, not from the government. Help us to be strong and courageous and use us for your glory so you can change America and every single state for your glory, that we will glorify and magnify you in freedom, freedom that comes from you. And we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Now, you're going to love this song, Virginia. Please stick around for this song. This is a friend. He come on the show. His name is Mark E. Smith, and his song is Christ Messiah. And we'll be back right after the song. It's 2 minutes.
When I get to stop and rest on this hot and sandy trail, walking through this desert, occasionally I fail. In a fight of desperation on this road of life, I know that there's only one true way to beat the strife. With rolling tears at times, I think I'll never make it through. Then I stop and realize to give it all to you. Raising up my shield of faith in front of me to fight. With your Holy Spirit, you guide me through the night. Now I call you Christ Messiah. I call you King of Kings. Have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. People see me in the vineyard serving in your name. Notice how I've changed, my life is not the same. Often they will ask of the change come over me. I tell them how Jesus set this sinner free. And I call you Christ Messiah. And I call you King of Kings. You have risen from the grave with the keys to set this sinner free. You've risen from the grave with the keys to set the sinner free.
Circumstances, for any reason, renounce my Lord and Savior. If the Muslim guy came up to me and said, renounce Jesus right now or we're cutting off your head, I close my eyes and say, cut off my head. I don't need it anymore. I'm going to meet my maker.
Yes, you're right, because the market will go directly to the throne of God. You're right about that. Yes.
I will die first. Amen. Hallelujah. Virginia, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, get Virginia's book. If you want to get it right now, Virginia Pro Dan Books.buy.com or VirginiaProDanBooks.com/buy. I want to get that right. Virginia Pro Dan. That's VirginiaProDan Books.com/buy. And get this book and read chapter 4. Read the whole book. 4 times, and then give it to a friend, give it to a family member. This is what you want to do. Virginia, thank you so much for coming on the show. And you can find the book on Amazon, too, in the bookstore. Don't forget that Saving My Assassin, Virginia Prodan, on Amazon and at virginiaprodanbooks.com/buy. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your time and coming on and staying for the whole hour.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate what you're doing. Keep on doing. You are part of the solution.
Amen. And you too, do not stop. I am so proud to have had you and honored to have you on my show. Thanks again so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. There you have it, folks. That's Virginia Prodan. Make sure you get the book, read the book, share the book, give the book around. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend Pete, he's over there on the live feed. What's going on, Pete? You missed it, but you can re-watch it just by going to my page, or you can listen while you're riding around. Just in to www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. You can hear 800 shows and 775 interviews. I've interviewed everybody from, oh my goodness, American Sniper's wife, Taya Kyle, Colonel Alan West, a joint interview with Sebastian Gorka and our good friend James Bostic, and a conservative perspective. We did some great interviews, Colonel Alan West. I had, what the heck's his name again? Larry Gatlin from the Gatlin. But I mean, we've been doing interviews and we've been doing this show for a long time. We're coming up on 7.5 years of just bringing the truth, folks. Trying to open your eyes to what's going on around you in one way or another. Bringing truth to the media lies and the media spin. Now you heard exactly what socialism is like and what it's like to escape from a dictator, be on a bread line and hope you eat, and then when you get your piece of bread and your little beans, you leave the little store, that the people in the neighborhood aren't going to rob you of your little bit of food that you got on the food line. This is the real deal, folks. This is socialism at its finest, food and bread line, telling you what job you're going to have. Not going to be like, well, I think I want to build a house. Ooh, I'm not too good at building a house. I think I'm going to work at the car wash. Man, this car wash job stinks. I'm going to go and, you know, manufacture toenail clippers, whatever the case may be. You have the freedom to pick whatever job you want anytime you want. Go to a socialist country? No, you don't. All of a sudden, they're telling you what you have to do. You don't want to do it. But I don't really want to be a cesspool cleaner. Tough crap. I'm the government. You're doing what I say. This is socialism, or you're going to die. I mean, it's that crazy. And that's what a vote for Joe Biden is. Our guest tonight, Virginia, knows what socialism sounds like, and it sounds like Democrats and Joe Biden. Amen. Hallelujah. With that, this is the Star Spangled Banner, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition is out. Also, his new song, Survivor, you can find that. It's right there. And, of course, his new song, 9/11, One Day in Hell. This is the Star Spangled Banner, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition. There's probably going to be an ad. There's always an ad because I do this off YouTube. Oh, that's a good ad.
Conditions. Prescription drugs are more affordable. The cost of insulin is going down. Under President Trump, our benefits and our health care are safe and secure.
I'm Donald J. Trump.
Please rise, because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise for the flag and we kneel for the cross. God bless America.
Thank you.
Every time. Until we meet again, folks. Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I'm trying to get this gentleman, Enrique Torrilla. He is the Proud Boy leader of Florida. He is half Cuban and half black. Really hard to be a white supremacist Proud Boy when you're half Cuban and half black. I'm trying really hard. He's affiliated there with Roger Stone, and it would be amazing to get them both on at once. We're trying. His name is Enrique Torrilla. Look him up. He is the leader of Proud Boys Florida. It is the real deal, legit. We are trying to spread the message that these guys are Proud Boys, not white supremacists. It's hard to be white supremacist when you're black and Cuban. Just saying. And with that, folks, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Without you, there is no show. Without you, there is no Patriot Nation Radio. You are Patriot Nation Radio. Thank you. Good night. God bless you, and God bless America.